Okay, good evening. It's Tuesday evening, November 20th. Rabbi Feldman is here. Tonight's share is sponsored by David Gertler.
Thank you very much. The agenda for tonight was to continue the topic from last week. This was the topic of Bikacholim, so we had left a few points untouched, so hopefully we should be able to finish those off tonight. Just to quickly go over the basics again to get us into the frame of the conversation. So we basically had talked about the fact that essentially it seems like we have what amounts to be a mitzvah min haTorah of Bikacholim, and that there are a number of possible sources to this. But on the one hand, we have the broad rubric of the Ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, which seems to mandate all acts of chesed. And coming from that, then the Rambam writes, there's also rabbinically ordained subsets, which are all the chashadim that we encounter on a normal basis. And specifically when it comes to the Bikacholim, we had a handful of other sources. We have the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim, which quotes a remnant from the Pasuk in Parshas Korach, where Moshe says in Kamos Kol Adam Lusanela that if these people should die the death of a normal person, which is a little long life, and then visitors come to them when they're sick and then they die, so that'll show that they're right. That's taken by the Gemara as a remez for Bikacholim. We talked about how the Gemara in Bava Metzia, and this is going to be referred to in a few minutes, the Gemara says that when Yisro said to Moshe that you should set up a Bezdin system, you should set up the hierarchy where it's not just you dealing with everything, but there are different levels, so you should teach people how to act and how to behave. V'hodata mesaderech yelchuba, that's a nice Shaya Asun. So the Gemara in Bava Metzia understands the various phrases in that pasuk as referring to different spheres of activity in Gemilas Chasadim, and Bikacholim is especially singled out for Derech Yelchuba. So that's another source of possibly for Bikacholim, in addition to the Balachta Vajracha type sources that we have, as Akeli Van Veyu, Acheresh and Olechecha Telechu, etc., etc., and the comments that the Gemara has made on those Sukkim, that just like he is Mavaka Cholim, so too you have to be Mavaka Cholim. And that specifically is also a possible source, the Bikar Cholim that occurs by Baruch Hu directly does, with Avram Avinu, when Avram is recovering from his Mila, and the Medrash Gala writes in that pasuk, obviously here's a source again, for Bikar Cholim and HaTorah, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself engages in this kind of behavior. And we talked a little bit about what that indicates, where we learn from God doing this Bikacholim that doesn't fit with some of the reasons that we have the Bikacholim. And we talked about some of those reasons. We talked about the fact that we have the idea of trying to do what you can for the Chola, trying to assist him physically, trying to assist him spiritually, that we find that prayer is a tremendous focus, and that there's a language that starts with the Ramban, that whoever visits the Chola and doesn't pray for him isn't Mekayim the Mitzvah. We discussed a little bit how it sounds a little extreme. Some discussion how exactly that line is meant to be taken, but in any event, prayer is a tremendous emphasis, and we talked a little bit about can you even pray for a person to die if that's what seems like they'll reduce their suffering, which was a discussion of itself, and how there are certain times that are recommended in order to highlight the different purposes. So for example, the Gemara recommends you don't visit in the first quarter of the day or the last quarter of the day, apparently because prayer is not going to be so provoked at that time, because in the first third quarter of the day he hasn't really sunk in how bad he's feeling, and the last quarter of the day it's going to look hopeless. So it's the middle part of the day we'll get the best picture, the most accurate picture, so that's when I recommend you come. And I was understanding this to be a function of you're supposed to be there to help, and during those times that's the beginning and the end, they're being taken care of, so that's not a good time for you to come and help. And we talked about the question of hospitals. Do hospitals change things nowadays because they don't have to really do anything? So first of all, there are things you can do, and second of all, certainly prayer is certainly provoked by visiting the hospital, and very significantly also the fact that the hospitals take better care of people who are visited is also something that's accomplished by visiting. And in that context, talk about some of the other goals of visiting, the idea of giving them company, the idea of conversation being a major goal, and we talked a little bit about that, and about the idea of just being there for him, which is perhaps what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was modeling in visiting Avram. We talked about Ben Gilo last week, remember? So just to go to that point a little bit, I don't remember exactly where we let off. Tashem Ben Gilo just to clarify, so the Gemara has a kind of mysterious comment that the person who visits the Chola takes away 1/60th of their illness. So in different places that sounds different ways. It sounds, for example, in the Gemara in Bavli Metzia, like that's a actual absorption, because the Gemara seems to treat it as a sakana to visit a Chola because of this, and nonetheless we're told that we have to do it, so it sounds like you're actually absorbing 1/60th of the illness into yourself. And the question of what that means, so the Gemara says it only applies by a Ben Gilo, which some Rishonim understand is kind of a mystical idea that you share the same birth sign or something like that, but a lot of other Rishonim see it more rationalistically and see it as either that you're of a comparable age group to the person, or that you're of a comparable temperament, and the idea being that the visit will be more of a pleasurable experience to the patient, and that will alleviate your suffering, that will take away some of his illness. And also as far as prayer is concerned, so some scholars point out that it's more helpful if you're of a comparable age, because then you identify more with whatever physical condition the person is in, you feel more that you yourself are vulnerable to it, so therefore that also helps as far as prayer is concerned. And also as far as the idea of absorption, so even that could be understood kind of from a rationalistic point of view, that the more you identify with their suffering, so the more you take it upon yourself, and that's also even perceived by the Gemara apparently as a real risk. So that idea of Ben Gilo we find emphasized in that context. Did we talk about enemies last week? About Rishone? Yeah, about enemies? But if somebody is an enemy of somebody else? That's why we talked about that. It's rather a doubt we won't get into. Basically, there is a debate among the poskim that somebody doesn't get along with somebody else, or somebody is a sone, even though that's, strictly speaking, a prohibited category. But if somebody has a sone, so should they visit? And that Ramah seemed to be a little bit concerned about it, that it might look like you're gloating if you come to visit somebody who's sick and you're an enemy of theirs, chas v'shalom. So that's, in theory, discouraged. The later sources point out that, first of all, like the Shas says, it all depends on just how bad the animosity is. And as the Aruch HaShulchan and others point out, that if you handle it right, it can be used as an opportunity for peacemaking, and therefore everything really hakolos v'ha'inyan depends exactly what the circumstances are. So just to add on a couple of points to what we spoke about last week, a very popular topic that a lot of poskim talk about, and for the most part, they come to very similar conclusions, but with some exceptions. A very popular question is the question of, can you fulfill the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim with a phone call? Part of the reason why it's so popular, if you read carefully in the tshuvas, you see that a lot of the tshuvas respond to the same person. The same person asked Moshe Feinstein, and asked Edmund Hasitzchak, and asked Jonathan Steiff. You see that a lot of the tshuvas are addressed to the same person, so that's a little bit part of it. But he asked the question to a number of people. But there is a significant literature on this. There are definitely 10, 12, 14 tshuvas written about this topic. And most of them say a very similar approach, and there are some exceptions, but most of them basically say that it's not really a full fulfillment. It doesn't accomplish everything it's meant to accomplish, but it's certainly not worthless. It certainly accomplishes something. So you shouldn't take it as an exemption. You shouldn't say, well, if I call, I don't have to go. But if all you can do is call, you certainly call. Calling is certainly valuable. That's probably represents the mainstream approach, like what Moshe has and a number of others have like this. And there were those in either direction. There were those who said that it really seriously doesn't accomplish enough, that there's a lot of aspects that you're not going to do, whether it's taking care of them. You won't do that if you're not going to really see what's going on. Maybe you can ask for a phone, maybe you won't. As far as prayer, maybe you won't be properly motivated if you don't actually see them. Different aspects like that are dealt with by a number of poskim. So some go so far as to say it's really not a fulfillment at all. Rav Asher Weiss is probably the extreme on this topic, that he, in his sefer, he feels just bechlal, not bikur cholim, that he's coming from kind of a very firm perspective on this. He says, we have a din of bikur cholim, which means you visit sick people. You don't have the right to say, well, I accomplished this part, that part, I can do it some other way. He and others point out, okay, so it's like Gemilas Chesed to call a sick person, it's not Sihat Lerecha Hamotah, it's something, but as far as the Chiyuv Bikur Cholim, the Chiyuv Bikur Cholim means that you go and visit them, it doesn't mean that you simply make a phone call. the other extreme, you have Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner thought it was a complete fulfillment of the Kecholim, because we mentioned last week there are those who interpret the Kecholim focused on the aspect of finding out what the patient needs. So the language of Bikur is really to investigate, to look into what's going on. He said that you can totally do over the phone and call and say, you know, tell me what's up, what do you need, assuming the person's going to be honest with you. So, you know, sometimes you have to really be there and sit with them to find out what it is, but that's how Rav Huttner assumes. He said that's really what Bikur Cholim is about, and he said you can totally fulfill that by a phone call. There were a number of poskim who thought that the fact that we mentioned a few minutes ago that this was going to come up again, that maybe there is a reason why the Gemara specifies in Parshas Yisro that pasuk yesaderech yelkuba, that you should go, that maybe that's the hint that Bikur Cholim is about physical travel, you have to actually go somewhere. And therefore, that's really the fear of the mitzvah, like the Russellites are saying, and that you can't really fulfill it without that. Again, you know, maybe it's better than nothing, but really the mitzvah Bikur Cholim would involve actual contact. Daniel Weiss, Yitzchak Weiss, and his children is Nachas Yitzchak, so he suggests a little bit of a split. He said that really, when you first visit, you have to visit in person, because a lot of these goals of knowing exactly where the person is holding physically and knowing what they need and all that, you're going to have to go in person in order to see all that. But we know that the Shulchan Aruch also says, I think we touched upon a little bit last week, that there's no shir to this mitzvah, and you should go afilu me'a pamim bayom. Even if it means going 100 times a day, you should go 100 times a day, until you become a pest. You have to make sure not to overburden through that delicate sensitivity that we have in the middle. You want to try to do as much as you can without going over the top. It's a little hard to manage, and even the best of friends can pull off 100 visits a day, but that's the language that you do find in the realm of the Shulchan Aruch, afilu me'a pamim bayom. So the Menachas Yitzchak writes that for these additional visits, those you can do over the phone. So you can visit once and then call 99 times a day on the phone, and that'll suffice. This is an additional component you can do over the phone, but initially, at least once, you should come to see them in person because of all of this. And there's a lot of discussion about this topic. We said some of it was generated by one individual, but there is quite a body of literature on this topic, and some of it about Bikur Cholim, and some of it about Nicham Aveilim also. So, God willing, next on our Chesed agenda is Nicham Aveilim. So we'll revisit how that topic overlaps with Nicham Aveilim, which has its own purposes. So it's not exactly the same question, but you find the two topics often discussed together. So we can talk about that in that context. Right, so there's also some point out, it's more of an effort for him to answer the phone than to just be visited. There are different aspects that are brought up, so it's a question whether it's really the same thing as a visit. But the general consensus is kind of hard to argue with this, because really, no matter how you hold this, maskana is still going to be true, that if you can, you should come in person, and if you can't, then phone call is better than nothing. Especially perhaps if we're dealing with contagious patients. Here there's a significant literature about that as well. That what if you're dealing with a patient who has a possibility of hurting you, has a possibility of infecting you. So here, most poskim would be pretty hesitant to tell you to put yourself in that situation, with the exception of the Ramah, the Tshuvas HaRamah, which seems to sound like that, is coming from a case of the Choshen Mishpat, and he segues over to Bikur Cholim, but there he seems to say he doesn't really put so much stock in the whole issue of being contagious. In the context of somebody who's afraid of catching something, he says, if you're going to worry about that, then you're not going to fulfill Bikur Cholim also, because you might think that you should visit somebody who is potentially contagious, but of course that's not true. Only a scaredy cat said it. So he has some kind of language like that. It's a little bit difficult to understand, because if there's a real sakana involved, then certainly that is something that halacha takes very seriously. So that's something that a number of posts can take up. And for the most part, it's hard to imagine it's justified to put oneself in sakana. There are some people whose profession is dealing with contagious situations, and something as far as point out, there are people who are paid to do this, and they're paid a lot of money to do this. They're significantly compensated because of the risk that they have to undertake in order to deal with contagious patients, and that's sometimes necessary, but that's not necessarily something that we put on everybody. So there's also a little bit of a subjective factor here. So you do find some of the shuvas that are a little bit more mystically oriented, more ready to rely on the chesed of the mitzvah. But for the most part, the recommendation is you don't necessarily consider yourself off the hook. You try to investigate the situation as much as you can without coming closer than is safer. That means coming to the front door, asking how he's doing, and then leaving without going into the house. Or, to go back to the previous topic, maybe it means a phone call. But whatever it is, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're off hook. It means that you do whatever you can safely to fulfill as many of the goals of Bikur Cholim without endangering yourself any more than necessary. And as far as endangering yourself, it's also interesting. I think we touched a little bit upon this a couple of weeks ago. So the basic assumption is, the Gemara says, that if a person you have to visit everybody, even a big person by a small person. So what does that mean? So on the one hand, it seems to mean that even an adult has to visit a child. You shouldn't stand on ceremony in this way, that a big person visits a little person age-wise. But also as far as stature, as far as a person who normally would not come to visit the other guy, because it's the reverse protocol. If the person is a chola, so you're not supposed to stand on ceremony, and Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch is clear that Bikur Cholim supersedes that. And a fibul zaken ve'enu l'fich v'odo, even you have a person who is a very distinguished elder and it's not in keeping with his covenant, he still has to do this. And I think we touched upon this a couple of weeks ago, because this is the opposite of the halacha that we find in the context of Hashavas Avedu. When it comes to Hashavas Avedu, so the Gemara in Bav Metzia, the Ashen on the Pasuk, his salam to him, that the Torah says you shouldn't see somebody's lost animal and hide from it, but the Gemara understands in that Pasuk that time is that time is that one. There are times when you should hide, and the Gemara says you have a zakin to enu l'chichlodo, a person who is a very distinguished guy, and it's not going to be in keeping with his cover to return this property, so that he's going to be exempt, and only exempt. There's a machlokas among the Rishonim, if maybe we're going to tell him it's not right for him to compromise his cover, or do we even give him the option? That was the debate in the Rishonim. So when it comes to Bikur Cholim, you find a different halacha, and there is a little bit of a discussion, which one is the baseline, which one is the exception. You said that basically this is the rule in general, the Rosh Chodesh Aved is the rule, that Zakim V'Engel Sikrodo is Pater, and that Bikur Cholim is an exception. Or do you say the other way around, that really Chesed in general requires even Zakim V'Engel Sikrodo, and Rosh Chodesh Aved is the exception? So if you assume that Bikur Cholim is an exception, which others question and say it's not an exception, that's a very good exception, but if you say that Bikur Cholim is the exception, so why should it be? So there are a couple of suggestions, and then Chassidus touches upon this in his tshuva about the telephones, and the Shalmei Nedarim is one of the classic achronim on the Sachas Nedarim, takes up this issue as well. And among the suggestions that you find is that, first of all, this was taught to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu visits Avram directly, so that apparently is a reflection of the imperative of even God al Eitzel Titan. Another suggestion that you find is that it's considered to be Pikuach Nefesh, which varies to different degrees, but there is a trend, which I think we touched upon a little bit last week, some quote this as one of the possible sources for Bikur Cholim, that there is an aspect of have Pikuach Nefesh that's involved in Bikur Cholim, and that could either be because you're going to pray for the guy and therefore that will help save his life, or because of the very real tangible benefits that apparently happen when a person is visited, this idea of having a 60th taken from him, a 60th of his illness, or whatever you do to alleviate the mood in general. So there are Gemaras that tell more explicit stories about the whole story, that would be Akiva that's discussed in the Gemara in the Dharm, and it's basically explained that this act of Bikur Cholim is associated with Hatzalas Nefeshes. It has such an impact on the guy's life that you're gonna make a big difference. So therefore, if that's the case, so it seems to be pretty obvious that the Zakin Ve'en Elofif Rodo, it's one thing to say he's exempt from saving the guy's money, but to say that he's exempt from saving the guy's life, you wouldn't go so far. Maybe you wouldn't, but the truth is there is one opinion that goes so far, so it seems to be obvious, because there is one, it's not really about this topic, but it's tangential to this point. I just mentioned, I think we've probably talked about this in the past, we talked about Halbanus Pnei Chaver Barabin. So we normally know that there is a prohibition of embarrassing people in public, and that the Gemara compares that to murder, and there is a lot of discussion in Poskim as to how far you go with that comparison. Is it actually like death to be embarrassed? So there is a position of Rav Shlomo Kodur which seems to take it this far. Rav Shlomo Kodur has a commentary to the Shulchan Aruch called Chachmei Shlomo. So in the end of his commentary to Choshen Mishpat and Tavchot Vav, so he writes over there that a person is not obligated to save somebody else's life if it would mean embarrassing themselves. It's a tremendous Yiddish. So it sounds like he's taking the comparison of embarrassment and death literally. So the same way, if I see somebody drowning and I know how to swim, which I don't really so well, so hypothetically I know how to swim and I saw somebody drowning, I could jump in and save them. So I'm obligated to do that. So that's Lo Shamar O Dam Reach. So let's say I don't know how to swim so well, and if I'm going to jump in, so it's very likely that I'm going to drown myself. So then I'm not obligated, perhaps not even permitted, to give up my life or to seriously risk my life in order to save somebody else's life. So Rav Shlomo Kodur seems to go so far as to say that not only am I not obligated to give up my life, but since embarrassment is considered to be equivalent to death, so therefore I shouldn't be obligated to embarrass myself either. Now that this svara of comparing it to death could lead you to that conclusion, but that's actually not the logic that he uses. The logic that he uses is this point that we just said, that there is a din that a person is zaken ve'ein l'fich lodo is pater from hashavas aveda. You have a person who is going to have to compromise his personal dignity, so he doesn't have to do the mitzvah of hashavas aveda. Now the Gemara happens to make a connection between saving somebody's life and hashavas aveda. The Gemara makes the kal v'chomer that if I have to return somebody's property, so all the more so I have to return their life. I have to, it's more important to them than their property. So it's a kal v'chomer from hashavas aveda. So therefore, Shlomo Kodur wanted to suggest that if the whole thing comes from the rules of hashavas aveda, so you find there is an exemption of zaken v'ein l'fich lodo. So apparently it applies here also. So it happens to be that almost everybody who came after him took very strong issue with this. The Kli Chemda has a discussion about this in Sefer Am Chumash, and Diane Grossman shows a truth about this in Truva Slave Arye, and there's a long discussion about this of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in his Truva Smith of Shlomo, where he says that even if you say murder is equal to death, you say that embarrassment is equal to death, that's when somebody else embarrasses you. But if you embarrass yourself, as a Gemara in Tanya's like this, it's always going to be a little bit different. It's always going to be a little bit easier to take. So even though he happens to be in that tshuva, he believes embarrassment really is equal to death, as you see from other things that he writes. But nonetheless, he says, to go so far as the Shlomo Kodur, he's not ready to go. His son-in-law, Rav Nechemya Goldberg, I wrote a little bit about this, making a similar point. I noticed that Rashi Weiss had a whole essay about this Chacham Shlomo, one of the vines in Chumash that I didn't get a chance to read. I got the sense that he may have more of an explanation of it. But for the most part, everyone who has written on this Chacham Shlomo has taken great issue with it. So just mentioning it because as far as this point that, maybe that's why Bikur Cholim is the exception, because it involves saving somebody's life. So there is this minority opinion, this Chacham Shlomo, that even to save somebody's life, Zaking Vayna will be Chlodo is still Pater. But in any event, so the Gemara tells us when it comes to Bikur Cholim, so there is still a Chiyuv. How would he answer why there's a chiyuv? So he could say, find out from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Gemara doesn't explicitly explain where it's coming from. He could say it's an exception by Bikur Cholim, but not to jump into the river. Yeah. It's a difficult opinion. I mean, if he was a tremendous, he has a lot of interesting stories that are sometimes clearly based on a different type of approach. It's an interesting safer. But this one made it into a lot of later discussions. A lot of choosers talk about this, and for the most part, this is not something that we recommend. It's not something that's considered to be policy. There is a statement that Shiltas has as a recommendation that if you're going to go be Mavaka or Chola, so you should bring somebody else with you. So there's a discussion what his source is for that, so it doesn't seem to be based on anything. So the Rogachev, in his commentary to Chumash, says it's based on the end of Sefer Bereishis. So towards the end of Sefer Bereishis, so you find out when Yaakov is sick, so Yosef goes to visit him, and he takes with him the Ephraim and Manasseh. So the Rogachev says, this is the marker for the din in the Shiltas, that you should have somebody with you. Others say, no, it's not about that. It's just Tam Chinuch. He wants to take his kids to show him how to be Mavaka Chola. And that's the lesson. The lesson that you shouldn't go alone. is not necessarily the case. Some suggest that maybe this is about the whole 1/60th idea, that if one person is going to take away 1/60th, so you go with somebody else who will take away 1/30th, you'll increase that. So that's something to take into consideration. Of course, if you take the opinion of Gemara that has to be Davka Ben Gilo, born under the same sign, you're going to have to really post on Teenage Gold or something to find somebody who's is going to be a comparable partner. If you take the other Rishon interpretation that it's that it's somebody of the same age group, then you know, a couple guys from the class go, then it's, that perhaps accomplishes a little more. Rav Asher writes in the Sefer and Chumash, there's a couple points about Bikachon, so he comments on this, and he writes that this is not brought anywhere by halacha. There are those who say differently. The Sefer Zerachayim is a very interesting Sefer on Bikachon, whole Sefer on Bikachon, written by somebody with a tremendous pekiyas and knows everything. And he points out that there are those who brought this idea of halacha. So Rav Asher White suggests that maybe what it's about, as he says, this is not an idea that we come into contact with so often, but he says there is an advantage to tefillah when it's done by more than one person, even without a minyan. And it's not only that we have an idea of a yachid and a tzibur, and it's either one or ten plus, but even two is better than one. That there is an idea of tefillahs rabim that's more than one. So if you assume that the whole idea is you want to provoke tefillah, so then there is something to be accomplished by going together with somebody else. If there's more quality to the tefillah that's happening by two people than by one. So again, it's not an idea that we're so familiar with. We used to either, there's yechidus or there's a minyan. This apparently has a rise to this, that there is an idea also of stop more than one. But at the same time, you also find other svarim that don't necessarily bring this, kind of make the opposite point. That even though maybe it's sometimes a good idea, but it's also sometimes a good idea that can have to do this. Because first of all, you have to worry about the atmosphere that you're going to create a positive atmosphere for conversation. And sometimes having extra people there is going to compromise that. And you could be somebody who the patient's very happy to see, but you're brought with somebody who is less happy to see and who's going to stifle the conversation. So that could undermine one of the goals of Bikacholim. So some Sfarim might be something you have to be careful with. And also in general, and this is a concept you find very much by Nichum of Elam also, you want to stagger the visits. You don't want, it's not good for the guy that if everybody who we might want to talk to is going to come at one time, and then there are going to be long stretches of time when nobody's there. So that's going to mess up both ends of the equation. What you want is that people should be there that he can talk to without having too many other people around. And then the other people come at different times. So having that in mind as part of the Chaisman is also something which Svarim highlight as something to have in mind. And maybe we'll just mention one more point about this. That there is a discussion exactly how appropriate it is to be Mavaka Cholam on Shabbos. And the Gemara has a line, the machlok is between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whether or not you can visit the sick on Shabbos. Beis Hillel said yes, and Beis Shammai said no. And then, kind of separate from that line, there is a line the Gemara has over there in Shabbos from Daf Yud Beis, that Bekoshi Hitiru Bikacholim V'Nicham Aveilam B'Shabbos. That with some reluctance, they allowed visiting the sick and Nicham Aveilam on Shabbos. Now in our communities we don't really see Nicham Aveilam on Shabbos. The prevalent minhag among Ashkenazim is that there isn't really a Shiva Shat or Shiva visits taking place on Shabbos, but I think it's recorded that by the Sfarim they do have Shiva visits on Shabbos in that sense. But Bikacholim, in theory, you could be more likely to find on Shabbos. So the Gemara seems to say that this is something that was reluctantly permitted. Now, it's not clear how that fits into the Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Machlokes. And as far as I'm pointing out, it's not clear if we passim like that. Do we passim that? We should be passim that you can do Bikacholim on Shabbos. The question is, do we passim go ahead? Or are we passim the Koshi? You know, which opinion does this fit into? Is it that Beis Hillel held that you can do it without reluctance, and we pass him like him, or is it that Beis Shammai said don't do it at all, and Beis Hillel said do it if you have to, and that's how we pass him. So there's a whole discussion about this in literature. It's not exactly clear whether or not this is something that was accepted by halacha, and it has some naftaminas, because first of all, the question is a little bit, what is the issue? Why is it that we're not so quick to let people visit on Shabbos? Some say it's because the idea is tefillah, and really tefillah scholem is not considered to be appropriate on Shabbos. There's a Shabbos in the lizard, and therefore it's not really the best time for it. Even Misha Berech that we do on Shabbos is some were questionable. It was somewhat, I mean, now it's the chapter minute, but it went through a history and literature of being somewhat controversial. The chiddush that we do it even on Shabbos, which really didn't create us our Torah. It was mentioned, I think, last week, that Gemara says that a person has the chol in his house, he should go to the local Rosh Yeshiva and have him be in the spotlight, and that kind of morphed into go to the shul, which it's also brought in the farm that during the time of Kriyas HaTorah is a time of special Rachmanis, so therefore Misha Beres became associated with Kriyas HaTorah, and then the Chiddush is even on Shabbos, and we say Shabbos and Ruzak, and we don't really love this, but we consider it necessary for the well-being of Bechola. So that's one of the issues that's mentioned. Others mention that the issue is it's perhaps a bit below next Shabbos, that a person is going to go and he's going to see this person is not well, he's not going to be happy either, and therefore that's a concern. So there's discussion about this in the Shuvas to Tzolyezer and another Shuvas, and some point out that there is a source of Shari Shuvah writes in the bottom of Shulchan Aruch that if somebody knows that he's very sensitive and he knows that if he's going to visit the Chola he's going to be miserable, he's going to get very upset, but that person shouldn't visit. The only person who should visit is a person who knows he's going to be not too badly affected, but if he knows that he's going to be affected, he shouldn't go. So that's working off the assumption that we are saying the kosher is here, that basically it's really a problem. We're kind of allowing it because we hope you can do it effectively, but if you are at risk, so then we don't tell you to do it. So it's just like Ezra himself, he doesn't accept that concern, because we allow it across the board, but that's one of the issues that's raised. And another issue that's raised is that the Gemara says you shouldn't look more later on Shabbos and Daf Kuf Gimel, that there are certain things you're not really supposed to talk about on Shabbos. You're not supposed to talk about the things that depress you and the things that are going to contradict Onik Shabbos, whether it's your business, which is some weekday thing that's not appropriate on Shabbos, or it's the things that aggravate you. So if you're going to go to a choler, if you're going to go to an avil, so that's a shared environment, that's going to take away from your Onik Shabbos, so that's also raised as one of the issues. Again, it's a little unclear how we paskin. We seem to paskin that it's okay. We question whether it's reluctantly okay or whether it's across the board okay. And you find a little bit of a contradictory approach in poskin. You find they take two sentences, if you put them together, they really go in opposite directions. They basically, you should only visit on Shabbos if either you never visit or you're always visit. What do I mean? Is that you find a criticism of the Sfarim. I say that it's not, okay, so since we're not totally excited about visiting on Shabbos, so if you could be visiting any day and you just pick Shabbos because you have more time, so then they don't like that so much. So, but then they also say that if you can't make it all week, and the only time you're going to visit is Shabbos, and if either you visit on Shabbos or don't visit, so then for sure you should visit on Shabbos. So what does it come out to? Who should visit on Shabbos? Either people who are visiting every day, so it's an additional visit, or the people who aren't visiting every day because they don't have time. So it comes out that basically everybody should visit on Shabbos, even though essentially what's criticized is the people who intentionally push it off for Shabbos, even though at the same time, Poskim acknowledge that if you can't make it during the week, then better to schedule it than never at all. Okay, so just about out of time, so that we just about cover what we wanted to cover in the topic. So just to quickly chazer over the points that we added, don't chazer over the essence of the game, just to quickly chazer over the points that we added. So we talked a little bit about the issue of contagious illnesses, of what's our attitude towards that. There are other, it sounds like contagious issues don't stop us. Other posts can aren't so quick to say that. How it doesn't totally let you off the hook, even if that's the issue. We talked about the issue of Zakin Zainul Sikhlodo. Is that the baseline or is that the Chiddush? And if that's the Chiddush, then why is that the case? Either it's modeled by Avraham Avinu or it's about Pikuach Nefesh. And we talked about how even Pikuach Nefesh isn't so obvious because the whole Chochmah Shlomo story, but how it doesn't really seem to be the mainstream approach. And we talked about the question of the phone, the many shulas written about whether you can, what kind of control of the phone, and the general consensus being that it's not great, but it's better than nothing, and that even though there are some who disagree in either direction, like Papadis special feel that it's a total fulfillment, for those who feel it's totally not a fulfillment, still a practical point is it's still going to be the same, and if you can go in person, and if not, make a phone call, it's still better than nothing. And then we talked about this idea in the shelter, so you should bring somebody else with you. Question of what the source of that is. The Rebbe Shavuot writes that the source is we find Yosef visiting Yaakov with his son. Others say that was just about chinuch. We talked about some of the possible reasons, either because you'll diffuse the taking away of the illness, or because it'll enhance your ability to pray on behalf of the person. And at the same time, there's also a risk by taking too many people, both because you'll stifle conversation and because you will make a lopsided the schedule, therefore giving the guy long stretches and there's nobody there, and that's not so great either. And then we talked about the issue of Bikur Cholam on Shabbos. The Gemara says, on the one hand, it's not close to some of the family, and the Gemara also says it was reluctantly permitted. Some discussion whether that part was true halacha or not, and we discussed what some of the issues are. Why would it be reluctantly permitted, either because it's meant to provoke Tfila, which is not really appropriate for Shabbos, or because it can contradict Omek Shabbos? And we saw the Shari Tshuva quotes as that if it's going to mess up during Shabbos, Taka shouldn't go. That's what Tzolio disagrees with that. And also the possibility of it being considered a conversation that's inappropriate for Shabbos, also brought up as an issue. And the basic conclusion, kind of being contradictory, that basically everyone should go on Shabbos. People criticize people who could go any time and pushed off the Shabbos because it's more convenient. But if you go every day anyway, and you're going to go also on Shabbos, so everyone agrees that that's okay. And if you couldn't go every day because you can't make any time other than Shabbos, so still better to go Shabbos than to go never. So again, it basically boils down to everybody is in this category who should, if possible, be Mevakar Cholam on Shabbos. And so those are some of the key points about Bikur Cholam. So at least one more topic along these lines is on our agenda, and we come available. And I'll see if there are any more topics to throw into the mix, and moving on to something else.